First of all, be reminded that the prayer line will be immediately following this Bible study tonight at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. The prayer line every night, Monday through Sunday night, and that number is 641-715-3670. 641-715-3670. The prayer line. Every night now, 7 days a week, 641-715-3670. And that access code is 409-367. 409-367 is the access code. All right. Also be reminded that we're planning a meeting for men August 26th through the 28th of this year. August 26th through the 28th. We wanted to get the meeting in before the election season starts up full tilt. So we'll be having a meeting for men at the Pine Mountain, Georgia location that we're putting forth right now over Facebook. And you should be seeing messages coming your way and emails concerning the Metropolitan Man Up meeting. It's a city man up meeting. We're not going to the mountains this time. We're going about an hour and a half drive away from the Atlanta airport, down south of Atlanta airport, down 85 south at the Pine Mountain location. So that meeting is August 26th through the 28th. That's a Friday, Saturday, culminating on Sunday, in time enough to come back up to the Renaissance Hotel for the Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock a.m. So that's Friday, our arrival, Friday morning through Saturday, and then departing early Sunday morning around 7 o'clock to get back up to the Renaissance Hotel for church service. So if you're interested in coming, and I'll try to... This message tonight is kind of concerning that, where I'll try to outline and try to highlight exactly what that whole meeting is going to be about. So August 26th through the 28th, another man up meeting for guys. But it's a different kind of guy we're looking to attend this time, and we're going to try to highlight that tonight. Last thing, Dunamis Tabernacle. We always put the information out here for Dunamis Tabernacle, a base camp ministry designed to actually provide a training ground, teaching, equipping, and establishing people who are born again to actually do the work of the ministry. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 that Jesus Christ himself gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, pastors, and teachers to perfect the saints so that the saints can do the work of the ministry. So we're looking actively to train people, not necessarily to go into a ministry office, but to be a minister, to be able to go forth and lead people to Jesus Christ because you've been equipped to do so. So you need a base camp, a training camp, a boot camp to equip the saints. That's what it's all about. Dunamis Tabernacle is all about that vision. All the information can be looked at on a YouTube presentation that's out there right now called Dunamis Tabernacle. 29-minute complete outline of what we're planning to do, so you can see exactly where this is headed. So that's Dunamis Tabernacle. If you want to contribute to it, www.omegaministries.org. Click on support followed by donate. And in the comment section, when you make your donation, write the words Dunamis, D-U-N-A-M-I-S, Tabernacle. Dunamis Tabernacle. And that'll let us know that you are giving for that particular purpose. Everything is coming to a head very rapidly. And it's time for the church to get in place to do what we have to do to be an assistant to God in wrapping up this age. This age is about to end, and God needs people equipped to handle whatever has to be done in order to end this age. This is going to be a fast-paced deal. And you have to be ready, you have to be established, and you have to be equipped to walk this out. And so everything we're doing is the precursor or forerunner to equip people to be able to actually engage in God's efforts to save as many as he can before he ends the world. God is going to end the world, and there's going to be a surge or a drive made by the Holy Ghost to bring in an end time harvest. You want to be ready for that. You want to be in on that. You want to be equipped for that. And that's why it takes a well thought out, planned, systematic effort to equip people to do that. And that's what we're all about. Okay, last thing. We've been suggesting a book for you to read. And that book is Lucifer Exposed. Lucifer is being exposed. It's about Satan's plan to destroy your life. Lucifer Exposed. This is the book cover right here. Lucifer Exposed by Derek Prince. Lucifer Exposed by Derek Prince. And some of the highlights in the book are why Lucifer chose to attack God, why Satan is no longer called Lucifer, how he enticed one third of the angels to follow him, what causes Christians to be led astray by him, and how to disarm this evil adversary. Lucifer Exposed. This is an excellent book to equip you to understand your enemy. The devil is an enemy. He's trying to destroy you. It's factually recorded in the Bible that the devil is an adversary seeking to destroy God's people. And in a practical sense, you know it in your own life that the devil's trying to grind you into powder if he can. So you need to be equipped. You need to be armed and trained to stand against his onslaughts. Lucifer Exposed by Derek Prince. Before we get going, to give you a highlight from this book, I'm going to read a quick passage from it, just one section here, a little paragraph, to give you some idea of what the book is talking about. This is entitled Living in Freedom. Living in Freedom. He says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." Romans 8:14. How do we live as sons and daughters of God? By being led by the Holy Spirit. This is a vital truth that has escaped the notice of most Christians. We talk about being saved, baptized in the Spirit, baptized in water, and that's it. But that is only the entrance. Life is being led by the Spirit daily, hourly, moment by moment. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Romans 10:4. Romans 10:4. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. In other words, it's the end of the law. He is the end of the law for people intended to be righteous. So Christ is the end of the law as a way to be righteous to everyone who is a believer. If you're a believer, Christ has ended the law for you as far as your righteousness is concerned. You can't be made righteous through the law. If we believe, then for us, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Not the end of the law as part of God's word. Not the end of the law as part of the history of the culture of Israel. But it is the end of the law as a means of achieving righteousness with God. This is true for everyone who believes, Jew or Gentile, Protestant or Catholic. It makes no difference. If we are reckoned righteous with God by the death of Jesus, it means the end of the law. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Galatians 5:18. Why do people get under the law? Because they're not led by the Spirit. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. We walk in Romans chapter 8, which states emphatically, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. When you are bound with a sin consciousness and you're not led by the spirit, all you have to turn to is law. Derek Prince says we can choose, but we can't have it both ways. Jesus has made it possible for us to be guiltless and not condemned. He has abolished the law as a means of achieving righteousness with God. As long as we are seeking to achieve righteousness by keeping a law, we will never be without condemnation. As long as we are attempting to achieve righteousness by keeping a law, we will never be without condemnation. We can never be sure we have done enough. We can never be sure that before each day ends, we will not have broken some aspect of the law, because if you do one law, you must do the whole law. I am not suggesting we should be lawless or disobedient. See, obedience is not the same as being under the law, because you obey the Spirit. You're not obeying the law, you're obeying the Spirit, who is the Spirit of the law. We don't walk in the law, we walk in the Spirit who governs the law, and the nature change in us through salvation and being born again creates in us a submissiveness that can obey the Spirit, and the Holy Ghost never does anything contrary to the Spirit of the law. What I'm saying is we will never achieve righteousness with God by keeping a set of rules. To try to do that is to insult God, because we are telling him, in effect, Jesus didn't need to die. I could have made it without him. What a terrible thing to say, that the death of Jesus wasn't necessary. So we are set free from condemnation on the basis of these two facts. Listen, first, our past sins can be totally forgiven. Our past sins can be totally forgiven. All of them. Second, we are not required to observe a law to achieve righteousness with God. We can be set free from condemnation on the basis of these two immutable facts. First, our past sins can be totally forgiven, all of them, no matter how filthy, no matter how degraded, no matter how inhumane, every sin can be expunged by the blood. Second, we are not required to observe a law to achieve righteousness with God. That's just one little excerpt from Lucifer Exposed. Because the devil always tries to bind you with the law, because he knows you can't do it, and then he'll accuse you of being a lawbreaker after you're attempting to serve God through the law, and the devil is behind all of that. Don't let people put you under the law. One of the main tricks of the devil is to put you under some type of a rule or regulation to measure up to a standard that he put on you, knowing you cannot please God through laws. Lucifer Exposed, The Devil's Plan to Destroy Your Life by Derek Prince, available on Amazon.com for about $12.99. Lucifer Exposed. Get a copy of it. There's the book cover again. One more shot at you. Get a copy. Get yourself free. And for God's sake, stay free. All right, so we're going to wrap it up for tonight. We're going to get into the message for tonight. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time of sharing. Thank you for the word of God that's able to save our souls. Right now, God, we ask you to expunge all sins, forgive us for all sins, expunge everything we might have said, anything we've seen, anything we've done that was not measuring up to the standard that you have set before us. God, thoroughly expunge everything from our souls. Under the blood of Jesus, give us a new slate right now. Right now, we can start off fresh. The Bible says we can sin 70 times, and we come 70 times, 7 times, and we keep coming back, and we're looking for the washing and regeneration by the word and the blood. God, get our minds functioning, get our minds operative, get our minds focused on freedom in Jesus' name. bind the devil, keep him at bay, that we might understand your word. Forgive us, cleanse us. God, set us in the right standing through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. We're talking about the man up meeting, the Metro man up meeting, the Metropolitan man up meeting. Now, what is that? We're moving into another church paradigm now in the 21st century. The old church world, the old church way of doing things has to go away. It's not working. Let's stop right now, right here, and face up to the fact that church is broken. It's not working. It's not achieving anything. Going to outline tonight why that's so. We're going through the gymnastics of church every Sunday morning and every Wednesday night, basically for nothing. We're going around in circles. We're going through all these gymnastics for nothing. We need to just stop. Let's stop doing this, because now it's just plain old ordinary silly. It's silly. You know it's not accomplishing anything. You're going through the ritual of church every Sunday and Wednesday night Bible study. You're going to your vacation Bible schools this summer. You're going on church shut-ins, trips to Six Flags and Disney World. You're going to the water park with the church. You're experiencing potluck dinners and Tom Thumb weddings with the church. You're going to your pastor's appreciation dinners. You're an armor bearer. You're in the new beginners class. You go on and on with all this stuff, and it's accomplishing nothing in God's kingdom. All because the church is out of order. Without divine order, you have no church. And we're going to take a look at divine order, what it is, and why it's necessary. Church has become an entertainment center. It's basically built around the rights and desires of people and what people like. Most people believe even America is a democracy, which is the rulership of the people. But actually, America is a constitutional, democratic republic. I'll say that again. America is a constitutional, democratic republic. What does that mean? We are governed by the dictates of the Constitution, and we have a representative type of government where the local people elect individuals to represent them in Washington, expressing the desires of the people they represent. In other words, your congressmen and your senators are to be chosen by you in the community to go forth to Washington to represent what your community desires are. So it's a representative type government. We choose those to go forth to Washington to represent us back at our homes. We are electing people who are supposed to represent what we want. But now you see it's flipped on its head, and the elected officials have taken over and they dictate to us what they want. So you see now, a constitutional democratic republic. The democratic part comes in that we elect those to represent us. Now you got a constitutional, governed by the Constitution, democratic, we elect representatives, republic, which is the rule of law. We're governed by laws. So the representatives that we choose are called upon to write laws in alignment with what the majority of us see as desirable in our communities, because they represent the desires and the wishes of the community. So if you don't want to stand behind homosexual and gay marriage, your representative is called upon to vote in alignment with the desires, in alignment with the desires of the community he or she came from. It's not them up there choosing to like or dislike anything. You check with your constituency, the people back in your locality, to determine what they want, and you vote the will and desires of the people you represent. But now they go up there and they've been marked as the elite who dictate to us through an oligarchy, which is the rulership of the rich. They determine through special interests and lobbyists what they want, and they just ram it down your throat. You just accept what we say. And then they use the legal system, the law, in order to reinforce what they want, totally undermining the whole system. And it's all just chaotic and unfruitful now. It's basically a clown show. You have to have government in any structured environment where a rulership is established. What is God's government? God is a monarchy. What's a monarchy? A monarchy is the rulership of a king. God is a monarch. He rules everything in creation as a monarch. He has a governing body made up of three individual persons. Now notice I didn't say three individual humans. God is made up of three individual persons. God is not one God that emanates and manifests himself three ways like oneness Pentecostals tell you. God is uniquely individualistic in that he is one person who is made up of three persons. Now how is that possible? God is able to be a collective one because he's united and there is no disparity within the confines of the Godhead. One person is manifested through God in that the Father is the governor of the Godhead. In other words, what God wills, Jesus says, and the Holy Ghost performs. So a righteous God who is holy and infallible can give us true, honest, infallible dictates that are always right because of his perfection. God is perfect. He never makes a mistake. He knows the beginning from the beginning, the and the end. He's the Alpha and Omega. He was, he is, and is to come because he's timeless. So therefore, there's no restraints on God, and everything he does is perfect. He's perfect. He's a perfect God. And he's one in that the will of the Father is carried out through the Godhead. The Son says what his Father says. Jesus said, I only say and do what my Father says and does. And the Holy Ghost is the power of the Godhead to perform what Jesus speaks. So you see now three distinct persons, but the Son and the Holy Ghost are submitted to the will of the Father. Remember when Jesus prayed in Gethsemane? An individual person praying to God the Father said, not my will, meaning that Jesus had a detached individual will separate from the Father. If that wasn't true, how could he say, not my will, Father, but yours be done? For him to make that statement, it is absolutely clear that he had a separate will, that he had to willfully submit to his Father. So he said, not my will, Father, let your will be done. First he asked, is it possible for this cup to pass from me? Can I not have to go through the crucifixion? Then he framed it in, but nevertheless, not my will, let your will be done. That's two distinct wills in play, meaning there are two distinct persons in play. And you see how it works. God the Father has a will. The Son submits his will to the Father's will as well as the Holy Spirit. God is perfect and righteous, so there's no threat of anybody ever being done wrong because he's a perfect God, he's a holy God, he's a righteous God, and he never does anything wrong to anybody. Perfect. So you see now, these three are one in that the will of the Father is carried out throughout the whole entire Godhead. And now the church is joined to Jesus Christ. And when our wills align with the will of Jesus, whose will is aligned with the will of the Father, then we're in play as an extension of God on earth, and we're known as the body of Christ. The body of Christ has a governmental order that is submissive to and aligned with the Prince of Peace, the Lord God Almighty, the all-reigning monarch over us, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is Lord over the church. Jesus Christ is Lord over the church body, an elected group of people who are submissive to his will, and his will has been submitted to the Father. Therefore, we honor the Father when we submit ourselves to the will of the Son. He's Lord over the church, and the Holy Ghost is Lord in the church. In other words, as we yield to Jesus Christ, he then baptizes us with the Holy Ghost to engraft us into a relationship with him, giving us his righteousness and covering us as we yield our wills. Listen, everything in salvation is contingent upon your yielding your will to Jesus. This is why I despise Calvinism, because Calvinism takes your will out of the equation, and that's a damnable lie. I don't care what John MacArthur or anybody else says, Charles Stanley and the rest of them. Your will has to be in play, because Jesus' will was in play in the Garden of Gethsemane. How could you have the Son of God, who had to submit his will to the Father, and yet every other human has no will? God just elects you and he saves you without your will being involved. That is a lie birthed in the very pit and bowels of hell. So you see how it works. The church is a governmental order. It's the body of Christ. It's the bride of Christ. It's the army of God. It takes on all of these different manifestations based on what the will of God is at that particular time at any given place. But your will has to be yielded to Jesus Christ for the Holy Ghost to fall on you and then work through you. It's your will. Your will is the governor. Your will chooses and to follow God. You choose to receive Jesus, and therefore you are now aligned properly by the Spirit, under the Son, and in relationship with the Father. Your will has to align with Jesus, whose will is aligned with the Father. This is making you the bride of Christ. It's making you one spirit with Christ, and you've been engrafted in as born again children of God. Now, having established that, what we're talking about as we meet in August is the reestablishment of the body elect of God, the governmental system of God, in order to see his children raised properly. Right now we have wildfire burning in the church. Everybody knows something about something. Everybody's preaching. And you know, the more I look at it, the more cursed social media seems to be, because it's given a platform for everybody to grab a microphone and start preaching at people. And most of them don't have any idea what they're talking about. But, you know, everybody can get a microphone now and get on Facebook or Instagram or some chat room or whatever they're doing, produce videos and put them out there as if there's some type of a doctor of theology. And most of this stuff is absolutely crazy. But see, social mediums have given way to ego and given way to people that are full of affectations wanting to be seen. And the body of Christ is languishing with nothing but continual talking going on. We just got talk. I mean, good night. This is like the Oprah Winfrey show. This is The View. This is Wendy Williams in church. I mean, just talking all day long. I mean, all this talking. And the apostle says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I don't even come with enticing words of man's wisdom. I demonstrate power. But now, everybody has a platform to talk all day. And what we're doing now is moving away from all of this talking and aligning what I'm about to show you right now and bringing it into manifestation. The Metro Man Up meeting is the first meeting of its kind whereby we are aligning men back into the foundational processes of leadership. This is not about coming together to be preached at and taught. This is not about you hanging around with problems. If you've got problems you want to talk about, please don't come to this meeting. This is not about your hurts and your insecurities and your repentance and all this other stuff. This is a military meeting about organization and skill banks being put in place. And what do you have to offer the body of Christ as a man? We've gone through all the preaching and teaching and all the setup for the body of Christ to be rightly aligned with God again. So if you come in here with a lot of problems and emotional problems and you're still masturbating and all of that, please don't come to this, because we're not dealing with all these little tiddlywink problems now. We've got to move on to higher ground because the church is drowning in quicksand. Somebody has to step out of this craziness and establish a solid foundation for truth, a solid foundation for discipline, and a solid foundation for just a simplicity in Christ that anybody can align themselves with and be fruitful. So we're through with all this gibberish about problems and trying to evaluate all this stuff and talking about your marriage. And look, all right. We can't stay over here with that forever. It's time to move on. Let's take a look at the church as it was established in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. This is in the middle of Peter's sermon. In Acts chapter 2, Peter was speaking. And he says in verse 38, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Repent, be baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now we have an imaginary baptism out there whereby people are imagining that they have the Holy Ghost. Man, you better get the Holy Ghost for real, because the Holy Ghost is the revelator of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Stop pretending you've got the Holy Ghost when you don't. "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." What does untoward mean? It means difficult to manage. It means stubborn. Man, if that's not a depiction of right now, I don't know what is. This generation is difficult to manage, and the people are stubborn. Why is that? Because they have not come up under family authority where a man and a father has been in place. And most people have no idea about authority and obedience and walking in alignment with the proper structure. They're renegades. It's like guys that come out of the hip-hop culture. They have no idea what it's like to be around a man. None. Most of them just hang around smoking dope and laying around with girls and listen to that silly music. And it makes you into this person that has no structure inside of you as far as authority is concerned, and you have no idea what God is like. You'll believe that God is like you. A renegade, rebellious, with no order inside. But that's not the way God is. God is an orderly being. Look around at creation. Look at the stars hanging in place. Look at the sun coming up every time, every morning, right on time. Everything around God's scenarios and what God does has structure. Your body is an orderly, organized organism. God has structure. The body of Christ is an orderly, organized organism. It's not like you see it down here. This is total chaos. This is anarchy. It's not the body of Christ. Everybody's got a microphone yelling in it. And half of that stuff is just useless dribble that is not amounting to anything. So when you come out of this culture, you come out of a untoward generation, a difficult to manage generation, and a stubborn generation. It says then they that gladly received his word, only those that gladly received the word, that's not everybody. Those that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. One man, one message, repentance wrought, 3,000 souls come in. Look at the power on display here. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Doctrine is important. The apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. So they had the foundation of the right doctrine laid in there. They fellowship, meaning they got together to communicate and commune with each other and establish relationships. And in breaking of bread, they ate together. They ate dinner and lunch and breakfast together. They broke bread together and in prayers. All of these things bind you together in unity. Doctrine, fellowship, eating together, and praying together. This is the listen to me. This is the very foundation of Dunamis Tabernacle. It's not primarily about preaching at you. It's about proper doctrine being established, fellowship, eating together, and praying together. That's what binds the church in unity. It's not running around saying that somebody's your brother that you really don't even know. You don't really feel somebody is your brother if you don't know them. Not really. You know about them. You can hang around them and talk a little bit. But when you eat with people, when you pray with people, when you fellowship with people, when you go through hard times together, when the proper doctrine is embedded in everybody's soul, you get unity. This is why we can come together once a year at a conference and everybody's on the same page and there's virtual unity. Why? Because all of you have listened to the same message, you believe the same doctrine, and when we get together, you're already knit together under the same doctrine. So therefore, fellowship and eating together and praying together is easy. So you see how it works. The foundational doctrine must be right. Now, people who don't believe this doctrine won't have a foundation or a basis for fellowship or interaction with you. They can't even pray on the same page with you because they have another doctrine they've been indoctrinated with. For instance, a young lady the other day was posting how oral sex and anal sex is sodomy. And several Christians flared up saying this is blasphemy almost. You're an abomination for saying that. The marriage bed is undefiled. And then this statement right here that always just almost is almost crazy when they say this. Show me verbatim in the Bible where God says you can't engage in oral sex. And you're thinking, somebody has to go to the Bible to show you verbatim not to do something that is absolutely perverse. You want somebody to go to the Bible to prove to you not to do something perverse. That's almost unbelievable, but that's what people do. They look for excuses to maintain their sin, and then using reverse logic, they try to get you to prove that an inordinate sin has to be proven unworthy to do from the Bible. Well, I'll tell you one word that is all encompassing in the Bible that covers oral sex and anal sex. Anybody in their right mind can see this. Now, if you got this one word that covers everything, there's no need to go to the Bible and tell them exactly where oral sex is outlined and made an abomination. Because, you know, normalcy has got to be taking place somewhere in your mind. You got to be normal to some degree to understand the Bible. The one word that is forbidden by the Bible that covers sodomy, defined by Webster's dictionary as oral and anal sex, is the word uncleanness. Uncleanness. God forbids uncleanness. Do a word study on it. Uncleanness is forbidden by God. Now, who in their right mind, well, with the greatest stretch of their imagination possible, could ever fathom that an act like oral sex is clean? You cannot get engaged in oral sodomy without ingesting some elements of urine, feces, menstrual blood, and semen, along with the bacteria used to digest your food, making it into body waste. That's why it smells like it does. You are actually a huge plant. You're a chemical plant. You're a waste production plant. You know how human beings produce junk and trash just by living? You know, you move into a house, you produce cardboard boxes and junk that the trash man has to carry out. Living organisms produce waste. Any living organism has waste. Dogs have to defecate, horses, butterflies, anything that's alive will produce excrement or waste. You are not called to ingest the waste particles from another person's body. And if you engage in oral sodomy, you are unclean and ingesting the waste products of another person's body just by the activity. And then you say, show me in the Bible where the Bible says not to do it. Well, let's say I have an appetite to go outside and watch a Great Dane dog defecate on my lawn and eat the manure. I eat the waste. I want you to show me in the Bible where I can't do that. That's how insane the logic is they're using. Why would God tell you not to do something that a normal, sane person would have no inclination to do? A lot of folks have been delivered from this oral sex spirit. One fellow said in that post I read the other day that there's no such thing as sex demons and perverse sex demons. That's just a fallacy. And then they write on there, shaking my head. And I think one lady even said that Gary Price down in Atlanta is defiling these people with false doctrine. And he's in a delusion, teaching that the marriage bed can be defiled. The marriage bed can never in any way, shape, form, or fashion be defiled. You didn't read what it said before that part about the marriage bed being defiled. The Bible says marriage is honorable to everyone and the marriage bed is not defiled. You can't participate in unclean, unsanitary, unnatural, filthy, perverse activity and then jump up trying to talk in tongues. Listen, you better repent and get that unclean spirit out of you. Just like the Bible says and forbids uncleanness, Jesus said that an unclean spirit can go out of a man. He walks through dry places, finding no rest, seeking to find rest. He returns to the home he came from, finds that home swept and decorated, and enters in again and brings in seven other more perverse, filthy, detestable spirits with him. And the latter state of that man is worse than the first. I'm just touching on this because I see this thing is going to be World War II. Unclean spirits with unclean appetites got people convinced that the marriage bed can't be defiled, and you're defiled all day long, participating in eating and ingesting body waste, bacteria, and microorganisms that are making you sick. All kinds of stomach problems, stomach ulcers, because you're re-ingesting digested food that has become waste, fecal matter, urine, menstrual blood, semen, and all kinds of contaminating bacteria and enzymes. Wake up. Stop arguing. Stop making a fool out of it. You make yourself look like a fool on the internet trying to make folks believe this stuff is normal when everybody looking at you that's got any sense is thinking, what in the world is wrong with you? Wake up and get delivered. You need deliverance. You need that unclean spirit to be cast out of you by first repenting for your unclean activity and then asking God to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. The Bible says, if you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive your sins and then to cleanse you from the damage done from all the unrighteousness. Stop arguing in favor of your own bondage. Stop arguing in favor of debauchery and filth. Stop arguing in favor of ingesting body waste. And then you want me to go to the Bible and find a scripture to validate you. Are you serious? Are you for real? Stop letting the devil make a fool out of you. Now, getting back to the Bible here. So doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, eating together, and prayers yokes us together. Look what he says next now. They came together with all that going on. He says, continue steadfastly. This is the Dunamis Tabernacle vision. Steadfastness, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread together, and prayers continually wrought. As different people flow in and out of the environment. And look what happened. And fear came upon every soul. Why? The power was generating. The Holy Ghost had come upon them. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Unity breeds signs and wonders. And all that believed were together and had all things common. There was a community. It's not about you and me having everything the same and trying to share everything and be equal to everybody. It's about having all things common in a community, a common unity. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple. Now, people tell you, I'm coming out of the Babylonian church system. These folks are in the temple.